Hey, how you doing? This is Wade with Wade for Wireless. And today I got updates and feedback. So I just have a few updates. Most of it's feedback, but I thought I'd like to share it with you because these are your words, not mine. But let's start with the updates. The FCC and the Department of Labor are teaming up for their Tower Safety and Injury Workshop. I have the links in there if you're interested. It's on October 14th at 9:30 a.m. in D.C., so they're going to have a lot of people there. Very exciting day. I mean, if you think about it, they're setting a wave of the future, and hopefully it'll save lives because it's going to set down the standards we desperately need in this industry, I think. You know, in the past, I never thought that. I remember when they were bringing all these standards up, it seemed a little silly at the time because I didn't know anyone that fell or really got seriously hurt. But now, I mean, you just see they have all these people who are not trained, really not worthy of going up on a tower. They're just sending anybody up. I know we blame the industry, but let's face it, this is something that we can't play the odds on anymore. We have to set standards in place, and there has to be punishment if someone's not following the standards. All we ask for here is a little training, but the training has to be a little more than what we're doing now. I'm going to do another post on qualifications. Let's see how the trainers. What I want to do is a post to see how the trainers are going to do. What the trainers have to be certified to do prior to training the people. I know we in the old days, you know, we just had climbers. That's all we had out there. But now there's a lot more certifications you can have. Anyway, getting off the point. So, on October 14th, the FCC is teaming up with the Department of Labor, which is, you know, OSHA is part of the Department of Labor, in case you didn't know. And they're going to start, they're going to have roundtables to see what the rules they should lay down for the industry. And I think it's a good idea. There's going to be a lot of, like I said, big names there. Wally Reardon's going to be there, Jed Hester, they're on the roundtables, Art Pregler. Dave Anthony, Craig Lacutis, I never could say Craig's last name. He's from Wireless Estimators. So Nate will have the representative. Todd Schleckaway will be there representing them. So what I'm hoping is, you know, you have a lot of people here that know the climbing industry. So I'm hoping they come out with some good stuff. And I'm sure all these people can come out with policies and procedures. We don't just want to look at what happened in the past. We want to know how to move ahead in the future. And that's what I'm hoping for because I know what it was like when I climbed. You know, it's easy to look at the past, say, well, I got away with this, I got away with that. But and it's easy to look at accidents that could have been avoided. That's one thing. You know, you always have things that happen out there. I know when we look at a block that breaks or a rope that snaps or a truck that, you know, backs into a tower or a guy line that pulls up. Some of those things you can't foresee. They're truly accidents, and accidents do happen. What I'm hoping we can stop is people that, you know, just recently we had the rescue attempt, which is in one of my feedback. And it's one thing to talk about rescue, and it's another thing to do it. That's why we practice. Practice, practice, practice. Practice makes perfect. And that's what we're going for here, is something to really make it a safer work environment. When you look at, I'm going to compare it to the steel workers in New York City when they were building high-rises. You know, they used to just hire anybody, and you see the pictures out there that the guys all just sitting on the beam. Now, if you look at those high-rise workers, if they're not in a safe work area, safe meaning that they have a rail on each side of them, and the rails are specified. If you ever done work roof work and you take in the OSHA class, you understand how the rails are specified. They don't just throw 3-foot rails up anymore. You have to worry about kicking tools down on the guy below you so you have the rail tight against the floor or the ground or whatever you're walking on, the platform. You have the rails up. They have to be a certain height so you don't tip over them. You can't lean over them. You still want to be tied off if you're working at height with your safety harness. You basically still have a body harness. There's no more belts out there. I've seen a lot of changes in the industry, and I'm sure a lot of you older fellas out there have too. And you see it on more than just tower climbing. When you do construction work now, when they go up into lifts, they're supposed to have their safety harness on. Their safety harness is supposed to go to a specified anchor point in the lift. So it's not like you just go up. Bucket trucks are a little different because the space is a little smaller. But even on bucket trucks, I see a lot of guys have the safety harnesses on and they have an anchor point on them. So it's just something to think about. For tower climbing, it's going to move forward, and I think it's going to raise the value of climbers. I think climbers might make a little more money. However, it's going to thin the herd, people. I don't think these tower crews are going to be able to just pull kids off the street. I think you'll still have kids doing it because they're young, they're healthy, and they're strong, but I think that they're going to be well prepared. I think they're going to go out there, have a little more experience, and possibly have a little more mentorship. That's what we're hoping for. Because let's face it, it's hard to climb forever. It's a very physical job, very physical. So with it being a physical job, it's something that you're always going to have to be in some type of shape for and have some type of strength. It's not going to be something you can just sort of slack on. So to use that brain, that's going to be your biggest ace in the hole, fellas, ladies and gentlemen, everyone, but for you specifically. You're going to have to use your brain. That includes common sense, and that includes if you have a plan, to follow the plan, and that includes thinking things through. So that's going to be what makes a difference. The FCC, the Department of Labor, they're going to help set guidelines. Your company is going to try to follow those guidelines, but it rests on you to not only follow the guidelines, but to be safe and be smart and to come up with a plan, to be able to improvise when you see something that's happened. When something bad does happen, you have to be prepared to overcome that. You have to be prepared to make a rescue if necessary. That's all going to be on you. So anyway, so that's a big update. I'm looking forward to that, October 14th. I'm going to try to make it down there. If I can't make it down there, they do have a web broadcast. I have all the links in my blog. Just go there. I have the links with the schedule, the roundtable, who's going to be there. It's very public, and I'm really looking forward to it. And I applaud the FCC. I applaud the Department of Labor for doing this. You know, we've had a lot of gripes in the past. So, and speaking of Department of Labor, I guess you all heard that Wireless Horizons is going to contest the fines that OSHA is handing them. I have a link in there, but if you're in this industry and you don't know about that, wake up. So I don't know what their story is going to be. I'm curious to see how it's going to play out. Now, I don't know the whole story. All I know is that two good men died. That's what I know. I know that this company, it appears that the paperwork was not on site. It appears there was no plan on site. They had a crew of four. I don't know what the other two gentlemen said that were working on the site. I just don't know. I don't know the whole story. That's the reality of it, okay? I'd like to think we can give the benefit of the doubt to the company, but it's not their first rodeo. In other words, they've been fined before by OSHA. So I think that that is going to weigh heavily into OSHA's decision as to whether they forgive them. And OSHA's very forgiving. However, when you look at the fines, some of them are for more than just... It's not like OSHA saw something that could have been corrected. OSHA saw something that should have never happened. They saw hazards out there. It was not mere negligence on the climber's part. There were actually violations that could have been preventable, completely preventable. And when OSHA sees that, that's when they really want to crack down on. They don't want people to go out there and just wing it. And trust me, I've done that. I can wing it. But in something like that, it's very serious. There were a lot of issues that could have been prevented, okay? Go ahead, read the article. And finally, RCR did a series on tower climbing, and the latest one is on job search tips, and I thought it was pretty good. If you get a chance, just go ahead and read it. I have the link in there. I'm a big fan of RCR Wireless. You guys all know that. So I would just take the time to read that because... they did on the certifications, the requirements, and I think that was round one. That was the first part of the series. And the second part was, I forget. Let's see. I know the third one's about the job search, getting your resume, getting the word out there, finding a job. So the second one must have been, let's see. Oh, I don't know. Hey, go ahead and read it. RCR did a great series. So, and now for feedback. And remember, these are your words, not mine. I do get my input at the end, and I have the original posts in there what these are from, okay? So I couldn't get all of the feedback in this one, so maybe I'll do this, do two of these this week so we can get all the feedback in there, because I do look at this. Now, don't get me wrong, you know, some feedback's a little silly, but the stuff that I think is pretty good is what I like to put in there, because I do appreciate what you guys say. So the first one was about the fire department to rescue the guys 50 foot up. That was a big deal. It appeared to be a botched rescue attempt. I never heard anything more on it, but yeah, I did a post on it and I have it in there. So this feedback says, "Hi, Wade, and hello to you. I appreciate it. I didn't put your name in. I didn't know if you wanted me to. If you guys want me to use your name, you're going to have to let me know. I try not to put it in because to protect your privacy." So again, to start over, it says, "Hi, Wade. Wow, another unbelievable news story about how the FD had to rescue somebody. There's something far wrong here. Why do people go to work on towers without a rescue plan and a rescue system? They are not expensive to put together. I wonder if it's a case sometimes of a kit being available but not having the confidence to carry out a rescue. This I know you have asked before, whether people would carry out a rescue. Really, if people work in this industry, they should be prepared to rescue mentally and have the physical means available. UK H&S legislation specifies that a review plan and a means of rescue must be in place for activities such as work at height and confined spaces. It specifically states that emergency service must not be relied upon as part of the rescue plan. What happens if a commercial incident occurs where the emergency services attend and there has been no other rescue provision in place? Is that the HSE, the UK's equivalent of OSHA, investigate via the local police and people end up with fines? If serious injury or death results, those responsible are in court. It's not perfect over here either. Despite regular team rescue training, we need to recertify our rescue every year. The amount of people who find this terrifying despite having passed the annual refresher for years is mind-boggling. Perhaps it's the training industry paying lip service and just putting bodies through courses that don't address actual training needs and build people's confidence, or perhaps this is a systematic of the current worldwide demand for people to work at high places like towers and turbines, and there's not enough time for people to become seasoned. Perhaps there are not enough people who have an aptitude for heights. I don't know the answers, but it's a good job that the fire departments take rescue seriously." That's end quote. So, yeah, I appreciate your feedback, and that's a great point. My response is that you are correct. Do climbers practice rescue is what I put. And I really think, I know what you're saying about the annual recertification. I think if you practice it, you're well better off. But you know what? Sometimes when you're in a pressure situation, people panic, people see a friend bleeding or get hurt, or the friend's unconscious, something bad happens. It's really hard to get over that, you know? Do you think we take rescue as seriously as we should? Doesn't appear so most of the time, because we're always calling the fire department to rescue. Now, you put in there about people not being prepared to rescue. I often wonder how many people actually have the tools to rescue. And what I mean by that, if you're going up in a 300-foot tower, do you have the rope in place? Do you have the rope to rescue? Do you have, let's say, the Petzl ID for controlled descent? Yeah, I said controlled descent. Or a FISC? And if you have a FISC, you know how to use it. That was something that came up on this rescue plan. Someone wondered if they had a FISC and they tried to do a rescue with a FISC, but they only wrapped it like a figure eight. If you're a smaller guy, you can wrap a figure eight and get down. But when you're hauling a person, you want to do all the wraps because it's all about drag. So you have to be prepared to do it. And I think what helps in this preparation is practice. I know what you're saying about the annual classes, and then people do freak out when something happens. But I think practice helps, because if you can gain your wits, if you can get your presence about you in a situation like that, then the training and the practice comes in handy. So when I say practice, I don't mean once a year. I'm probably talking like once a month if you can. And that's something that most companies just don't do. And trust me, I didn't do it. But, you know, we tried it over the summer. We try it once a month. But it was a big get-together. You know, the guys, in all honesty, the crews I worked with, when we did practice, it was a lot of fun, you know, pulling people down and doing things. But we were still nervous and took it very seriously because you're pulling a body off the tower. Now, granted, we had rope grabs on each body. We didn't just pull them off and take a chance and hope for the best. Even the victims still had a rope grab on them. The rope grabs are a pain in the butt sometimes. I don't know if you ever worked with them, but when they catch, then you got to reach up and try to, you know, loosen it so it falls down below you, because you always want it falling below you unless you fall. Once you get below it, it's going to grab, hence rope grab. But I appreciate it. That was a good point. And it's good to compare the UK to the US. Now, that's one thing a lot of people here in the US complain about, comparing to other countries. Listen, if you're going to complain about that, then I guess you're not open to learning. One thing we're going to have to do across all countries, and I get a lot of feedback, you know, from Europe, specifically the UK, Germany, Ireland, and I also get a lot of feedback from Australia. So here's what we have to do as this industry is worldwide. And if you look at IRATA and SPRAT, the two groups on rope access, they work together worldwide. They don't just say, oh, well, we're going to do what we want to do in our country. You know why? Because this industry is worldwide. You don't just see people climbing towers in one country and not another. And I'll tell you a country that's up and coming that if you get any wireless news about towers is Africa. That's another place where we're going to have to try to save lives. They're going to have to set standards down there so people climb safely. And you know what? I don't know what's going on. I mean, I'm saying either way. Because down there, you know, it depends what country you're in. You're in a war zone. I had a friend that did some work down there, and as soon as they heard gunshots, they all just ran. So we're very fortunate in Europe and Australia and the U.S. We're not in a war zone. I know it sounds a little silly. And, you know, if you go to South Africa, beautiful country, very safe. You know, I think it's safe. I don't know. I'm sure it has its bad parts. But then I live in the U.S. You know, there are places in Philly that make me nervous. So I guess my point is the industry is worldwide and we're all working together. And the goal is that nobody gets hurt and nobody dies. I'm not saying we can reach that goal every year, and I'm saying accidents don't happen, but let's just keep stupidity from happening. Okay. The only way we can do that is to work together. We can learn from each other. All right. Now, more feedback on that same post about the botched rescue is, someone said, good to hear this guy is safe, but when will people learn you need a viable rescue plan while at heights, one that is achievable and not just writing on a piece of paper? And my response to that is, you are correct, sir. I couldn't agree more. I mean, it's the absolute truth. I mean, we really need to take it seriously. And I think that's one thing that... you know, we all say that, we all pay it lip service, but who is taking it seriously? Is it just that the industry hasn't had enough time to clean it up? Is that what it is? Is it that, we just maybe, you know, it's all lip service coming from people like me, but maybe the crew owners, maybe many of them aren't taking it seriously. Is it that there's just companies out there that don't care? They just want to throw bodies at it. Yeah, I've seen that. You know, there are guys out there that sometimes are shorthanded. They just need a body. Most of the time, they put those bodies on the ground and they hope for the best. It just happens. Do we want it to happen? No. That's why we're hoping that the FCC and the Department of Labor put provisions in place so this doesn't happen. That's the goal here. Safe industry. So I got feedback on the OSHA finding wireless horizons, moving on. And someone said that... you know, as far as this fine goes, they said, managers, directors, and owners, please don't think about compliance with OSHA requirements as a way to avoid fines. Think about the safest operation possible to protect the lives of sons, husbands, brothers, fathers, all the men who show up and support your business. Don't they deserve your support in return? And my response is, well said. Oh, by the way, don't forget women. There's a lot of women climbers out there. So we'll go sons, husbands, brothers, fathers, all the men, and mothers, sisters, wives. Did I miss anybody? Let's see. Daughters and all the women who work out there too. I'm just trying to be fair because there are women climbers out there. Not nearly as many. The percentage is low, but it's not something that I don't see a lot of women fighting to get into. But anyways, my point is, that's a good point. I mean, you should really look at it as you're saving lives. And it's true. I bring about OSHA and the fines and how you can't afford not to follow the standards or not take up all the safety precautions you have to do. And I know we all want to win business, but by the same token, if there's one guy out there, and I've seen it, I've lost a lot of business to guys that show up with no safety gear or very little safety. I shouldn't say no safety gear. They all have climbing belts. A lot of people think that's all you need is a climbing belt and you're done. Head up the tower. I think those days are gone. So, but I appreciate that feedback. So I got more feedback on that same post, and it goes like this. Quote, I'm pushing for all climbers to look out for each other at all times under all conditions. If somebody is doing something wrong and nobody says anything to that person or shows or makes that person do it the correct way, it's their asses that's going to get chewed just the same, if not fired. Just because we don't want people who don't, it's sort of hard for me to say. We don't want people who don't look out for their sisters and brothers. Once we get both hands and feet in the tower, all we have up there are the people working right beside us. So we have to depend on each other. All we have is each other and nobody else. So you better hope you got some trustworthy people on your side that's watching your back, or you just might end up dead just because nobody spoke up to you or for you. And I hope this sinks into people's heads, because it's definitely a problem, brother, and a deadly problem. Thanks for providing us a place for a voice to be heard. Okay, so my response is that thank you for spreading the word, because it's so true. Once you're up in the air, all you have is each other. You have yourself, you have your wits, you have your common sense, and hopefully you have somebody up there with you, and you have your ground guys. So you're talking 2 to 4 people, right? That's all you got. You got to look out for each other. If you're doing something stupid, you know, and I know how a lot of you are, because if somebody points it out, chances are you're going to get a little pissed off at first, okay? Not the right attitude. I mean, it's, I understand you're being protective and you don't want to look, you know, you don't want to look stupid. But the reality is, if somebody's pointing something out that you're doing wrong, chances are you know you're doing it wrong, you're just being lazy. If you don't know you're doing something wrong, you're probably a greenhorn or a newbie. If you've been doing something wrong for a long time, that's something you need to correct. You need to talk to each other. So here's your chance. Here's your chance to learn. Now, if someone points out something that you think you're doing right, that's your chance to have a discussion. Don't just sit there and say it's my way or the highway, because your highway might be straight down 100 foot to the ground. The reality is you guys need to discuss this. And that's why I always say make a plan and talk about things ahead of time. Because one of the things that you'll learn is that it takes a team. And I know that. And I always listen to the other guys. But I had a little cooler personality than some guys. And I know I pointed things out to other guys and they just get defensive. When you just get defensive, that doesn't solve anything. Now, if you have a better way of doing it, or if you want to do it your way and you know it's safe, just point that out. Hey, I'm going to do it my way. It's safe. I've done it before. And give an explanation. Let's all be calm and rational out there. Okay? But I do appreciate that feedback, because that's where people really need to spread the word. And I think what happens is you have a guy like this who's telling people, be safe or it's your ass. And some people just sort of laugh at that. But the reality is, it is your ass. You know, I mean, what are you going to do? You going to deny that? You going to say, oh, not my problem. It is your problem. If you're up in the air, or if you're on the ground and someone else gets hurt, whose problem is it? Do you think you're just going to walk away unscathed? Trust me. I talk to people that saw somebody die. It's not good. You know, it has a long standing effect. Chances are you'll get out of the industry. Chances are you'll never even want to see a tower site again. It takes time to get over. Well, on the other hand, I know people that understand it and they get the business and they move on. How are you going to react? How are you going to react if someone needs saving and you can't save them? How are you going to react if you botch up a rescue? You know, these are all things. I'm not trying to bring you down today. I just want you to think about them, okay? Again, this is why we practice and make sure you're mentally in the game. So I have feedback in there. I have my email address in there. Give me some feedback. I think I'm going to do another feedback post later this week because I do have a lot more. I'm going to try to get as many in as I can. And just let me know what you guys think. So Nate has the Tower Foundation. I think you know that, the Tower Family Foundation, TFF. And I seriously support Hubble. So just so you know, Hubble's still out there. And if you can spare any money for Hubble, we would appreciate it. I know that Jet's running a lot of charity events. So the more you guys can help, the better it would be. Because she's always looking for support. She's still giving money out for scholarships for the kids of fallen climbers. She's really trying to help the families, and she goes way beyond what you normally would. What anyone else normally would. She's really doing all she can for these climbers. She feels her pain. You know, she is in a family of climbers, and she's really trying to do as much as she can, as well as her research. So, Jed Hester. She is running the Hubble Foundation. All right. I have a link in my blog. So if you want to donate, go there. If you want to see what's going on, go there. And she's on Facebook quite often. Reach out to her, let her know that you want to help. And finally, I'll my training out soon if I ever finish it. I'm building a training program on the paperwork that you'll use in the more or less the tower industry and the wireless industry. And the reason I'm doing this is because I think it's important. If you guys want to move ahead and understand your job, it's important to know the paperwork. I know you guys get into climbing because you don't want to deal with the paperwork. You just want to be up in the air. But that, I don't think that's true for everybody. If you want to move on, if you're getting tired of not understanding the entire business, this is going to give you a swath to work with to move ahead and also understand more of what's going on. And you guys got to remember, in the wireless industry, it's huge. There's a lot of jobs out there. So climbing is a great job, but you can also do testing, which you can also do in the air. You can do site surveys, which I'm sure a lot of you do in addition to this. And you can do estimating, where you estimate the jobs. And this is all stuff that you're being groomed for when you start out with climbing. You can do some engineering work. You can take the training. I just want you guys to know there's a lot of options out there. A lot of these young men I talk to don't understand that there's a doorway. They think that you're just a grunt. Let me ask you something. In the construction industry, a lot of these guys that own construction companies, where do they start? You know, they're not all Donald Trumps that got to go to Wharton. A lot of these guys start out in the construction industry and wind up owning the business. And I see a lot in the tower industry, too. A lot of these guys start out climbing and wind up running crews and then owning their own business. I just want you guys to have the same opportunity. There's a lot more to this than meets the eye, at least your eyes, because you're up and you're focused on your particular job. So you just got to think of all the work that's coming up out there, all the carriers doing the build. So I have my books out there to help you guys, and I'm also trying to put together training that I think is really going to be valuable. And give me your feedback. I got feedback in there. Let me know what you think. I'm going to put your voice out there. If you guys want to reach out to me, you know how. You know, Wade for Wireless. I'm on Facebook. I got Wade for Wireless at Gmail. Just let me know. Let me know what you say, what you have to say. And I want you guys to be smart, be safe. I'm hoping you have a plan. So be smart, be safe, follow the plan. Be ready to adapt and improvise. And just arrive alive when you get home at night, okay? Be smart, be safe, pay attention. Take care, everybody.